Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, February 27th, 2025. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. You can find us, as always, on thechairshot.com, where we remind you and encourage you to always use your head. Coming at you from the pod cave, I am the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. I'm going to go around the room like I always do and introduce this cast of characters that we have here on this podcast, starting with the host of the Rob the Genius podcast. He is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data, the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling podcast, the king of the power nap, Ray Cash's daddy, and the man with the golden shovel, Mr. Rob. Sir, how you doing?
Good. I took a 8-minute power nap a few minutes ago, and I'm ready to go.
Yeah, Rob got himself a power nap, and I really should rename this to the Technical Difficulties Podcast, because I had computer problems again, so we're actually starting about 30 minutes late. So Rob snuck himself in a little power nap, and when we first got into the pre-show huddle, I didn't think Rob was going to make it. Rob was cooked, man. But he's powered through. Jason and I got him fired up. He's ready to talk some wrestling, and we're going to do that tonight. But before we do, last tonight, but never, ever, ever least, he is the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He hails from the Purple Haze and Cloud Nine, Bucky's tag team partner, a man destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, what's up?
Gentlemen, I'm sitting there playing video, getting the last second, quest in on Avowed, because you're having computer trouble. And then, so I'm not paying full attention to our little group chat and paying full attention to the progress of things. All of a sudden, I look down, and, oh, Rob's taking an 8-minute nap. And I'm like, DJ, what are you doing? It's pretty good night, and you just gave the shoot bear permission to nap. He's gone, brother. He's gone. We're not seeing him until tomorrow. But
that's one of those dangerous situations where you're like, I'll just close my eyes for 5 minutes, and you wake up and you don't know what fucking day it is.
Right.
Those are my favorite naps, man.
Or Rob was going to wake up thinking he missed the school bus, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I've done that, man. With my old job, I used to have Friday afternoons off. And sometimes I'd come home, I'm like, man, I'm getting home, I'm going to play some video games because Tina's still working. I got the couch to myself, I got the living room to myself. I hit that couch, out. I wake up, I don't know what decade it is. I check the beard to see if it's gotten longer while I was asleep. You just fall into a vortex, man. It's crazy.
Rip Van DJ.
That's how the beard grew, man. I just fell asleep one day and there it was. Oof. So we are not here to talk about our sleeping habits, our beards, or anything else. We're here to talk wrestling. This is a wrestling podcast. We got a big weekend coming up, a weekend that I completely forgot about because I made plans for Saturday night. We are going to talk Elimination Chamber. As customary on this show, Jason is going to handle the card, and we're just going to kind of go around the room, kick around a couple of the matches, and give our predictions. Jason, sir, the floor is yours.
Well, first off, we'll get the first one out of the way. Tiffany Stratton and Trish Stratus are taking on Nia Jax and Candice LeRae in a tag team match. This feud has been fun. Tiffany is just firing on all cylinders, and I think they are successfully turning her into a babyface. And Trish certainly is helping. So Tiffany and Trish are probably going to win this, right? Trish isn't here to lose. DJ?
Yeah, I think this one's going to be a lot of fun. And if you didn't see them eventually wanting to turn Tiffany Stratton babyface, you have not been paying attention. You have just been asleep at the wheel. Having Trish Stratus on her team definitely helps with that. But I think Tiffany, do I think she needed Trish? Not necessarily, but it helps. You know, we've got Trish. It's WrestleMania season. It looks like we may have her at least back for WrestleMania season, at least this year, maybe hopefully a couple more years. One thing I do like to see here, Candice LeRae again on another pay-per-view or premium live event, I should say. I like seeing her get regular work. So that's always a pleasure. But yeah, I think this is a no-brainer. I think Tiffy and Trish take this one home.
Sorry, she's been a fun like minion for.
She really has, and I'm glad they finally found a lane for her. I know I've talked about that and complained about that on this show before. Why are we not using Candice LeRae? And at least for now, they found a lane for her, and I like that.
She can play a character, man. And they told her, okay, you're gonna be Nia's little minion, and she's like, got it.
I need you to do, and she ran with it.
And DJ, to your point, like, why has she been on the shelf or on the bench rather for this long when she's worked there for God, how long at this point?
Well, that's the thing though. I know she had a baby. What the kid's what, 2-3 years old now?
And she had an injury. So
They had a baby. So she was out on maternity leave. But yeah, it's, at this point, if she's ready to go, man, let's do something with her. And it looks like they are.
Find a lane for her. So, next, well, Rob, actually, do you want to?
Jason, I thought he was going to do it again. We are in the last day, the waning days of Black History Month. Jason did it 2 weeks in a row.
You know, it's the last, the waning days. So I was like, you know what? I'll throw him a bone. Rob.
All right, so I mean, look, this is a fun hometown match, and yes, I mean Trish and Tiffany win here. That's what it was for. I think it should be fun. And as far as with Candice, I guess the unfortunate thing, the unfortunate part of it is that to find something for her to do, they released Indy, you know, and
yeah.
And I think we had said previously that they needed to split them up because obviously that whatever reason keeping them together, they weren't finding anything creative for them to do. And so now Candice does have something to do. And it sucks that had to go down this way, but, I think it should be a fun match. Now, yeah. I mean, Trish and Tiffany are winning here.
Great. So, I guess we'll do the do you guys want to do the unsanctioned match last, or do you want to do?
We'll do it now.
Okay.
Yeah, we can get it out of the way.
Cause my two cents on unsanctioned, I always love the kayfabe loving little boy in me always loved when they would do it correct as a lights out match, where they would shut all the lights out at the end of the end, quote unquote, of the show. They shut the lights off and turn the lights back on, like, oh, it's not really our show anymore. It's unsanctioned. I don't know. That was always the kayfabe logic behind it, and it was just delightful to me. So I hope they main event. Well, fuck it. Why not? Especially if they go to the levels of violence that I think they're going to. I think they're going to beat out both Elimination Chamber matches. So because we have Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens in an unsanctioned match where the ref is just there to count the pin. And these two, one of them is going to Jesus. Like, one of them is going to Canadian Jesus tonight, that night, boys. That, it's just a fact. One of them is going to make everything they've done to each other previous look like child's play. And that's how this match is going to end. That's the only prediction I have. So Rob?
Yeah, and I think, look, you can see, you know, there are a couple of matches that they had in Ring of Honor that are kind of the predecessors to this. There's a Fight Without Honor. You can find that on YouTube that they had, and the Ladder of War that was their, like, their final confrontation in Ring of Honor. So I think the only question is, will they escalate to that level or not? They probably won't get all the way there, but I expect them to go further than anything they've ever done in the WWE ring. And it would be fitting, actually, it would be fitting to have them go on last and give them the location and everything.
Right. DJ?
Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are wrestling soulmates. They really are. I've talked about this before. I think it was it Fastlane, Rob, the one you were at?
It was a Battleground, I think.
Battleground, that's right. I always forget the name of the premium live event. Battleground, it's still one of my favorite wrestling matches in the now 13 years that I've been back watching this thing. It's in my top five. I love that match. These guys always show up and turn out, and I'm looking forward to them just beating the absolute hell out of each other. I hope Hunter gives them enough runway. You know, two things I hope. One, it doesn't go 35 minutes. Two, Hunter gives them enough runway to do what they want to do. You know, if these guys want to go out there and take some risks and get a little violent, a little more than WWE is usually comfortable with, I'm okay with that for this one time. I absolutely love the promo from Sami Zayn and Adam Pearce. I know I talked about it last week. Really good stuff. Really, really good stuff. It got me invested. I'm ready to go with this one. I could not pick a winner here. Either way. What?
You ruined it. I was so close because I was like, you know what? We're getting really close that all three of us didn't pick a winner because I didn't. And I Rob.
Canadian Jesus wins.
I was going to say, Canadian Jesus is going to win because one of his sons comes home. And the other winner is, of course, us, the fans.
Yes. Yes.
Canadian Jesus and the fans, and that's it. And I really don't care. Like, pinfall, I don't care. Seriously. I'll tell you who I was rooting for. Okay, I have a rooting interest. But you know what? I'm going to even keep it private.
Okay.
Well, I think, I will make the prediction. I think Kevin Owens wins. And I think this is the precursor to Randy Orton coming back to get revenge.
Okay.
So you don't think we get, okay, let me ask you this. Do you think we get Kevin and Sammy at WrestleMania? Because this is what their story is. I know you're talking about Randy Orton coming back. I think this is match two of what I consider match two. And then culminating at a Hell in a Cell between the two of them
at Mania. I think they do something later.
You want my pie in the sky?
Well,
pie in the sky is Kevin Owens wins and beats Kevin and kills Sami Zayn. Kills him dead. Sami Zayn is now passed away. El Generico gets the call at that orphanage in Mexico, and he comes out of retirement to challenge Kevin Owens at a Hell in a Cell match at WrestleMania.
That would actually pop me. That would pop me.
I think Randy, I don't think that, unless Randy is legit injured, which I don't think he is, you don't leave him out of WrestleMania. And if he's going to come back for WrestleMania, then the obvious thing would be to have him go after the person and put him out.
Right.
So I think Kevin and Sammy do link up again later on this year. But I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Fair enough. So we will move on to the Elimination Chamber matches. The women's match for a women's world championship match at WrestleMania 41. We have Liv Morgan, Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, Bayley, Naomi, and Roxanne Perez in the chamber. My predictions are Bianca Belair and Naomi both separately do something crazy. Dark horse on that is also Alexa Bliss. And I don't know. Against Liv? I mean,
they're not going back to that after they just.
No, they're not going to do Liv and Rhea at WrestleMania. I refuse to believe they're going to do that again.
Yeah, so
Is and I done? Enjoyed that feud, but I don't want to see any more of it.
And I don't think it's time to do Bianca yet. So I, you know what? Put her back in the driver's seat. Let's get Alexa Bliss in there. I could see. I could. You know, I mean, she's back. She's white. She's red hot. You know, approaching white hot. Yeah, okay, I'll take Alexa Bliss. DJ?
Man, this is a tough one. God, my gut is telling me Bianca wins this because, but at the same time, I got to agree, there's, what, 60 days to hype WrestleMania? And for, in their first year on the main roster, everybody thought the money match was going to be Bianca and Rhea. But they have those, their paths have diverged so much. I think they've taken money out of that bag. They need time to refill it. And I don't think 60 days is enough time to do that.
No, so, you gotta give them some sort of like mini program or something and then like get to the WrestleMania
then
match.
Then get to the payoff. I think, you know, if you can build Bianca back to that chase over the next 12 months, then we're having a different discussion in 2026. But hey, you know what? Fuck it. Naomi.
Okay. Gun to your head. She win at WrestleMania?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes. Yes.
I could see it. I honestly could. So, well, yeah, now I'm hoping for that. Oh, great. So that's probably not going to happen. Next up.
Twice! Twice!
Do I have to call Al Sharpton?
You can call whoever you want.
Call it in the ring.
I'm sorry, buddy. Go ahead, Rob.
Okay. All right. All right, so I'm going to all right, let's run through this. Roxanne is not winning. Yeah, that's not happening. They're not going to do Liv and Rhea again. Not this soon, anyway. I think Bianca and Naomi, some kind of way, you know, between them and Liv, they all kind of eliminate each other or cause each other's eliminations some kind of way. So I think, although, all right, well, as Liv, no, Roxanne, no, Naomi, I don't think so. So that leaves Bianca, Alexa, and Bailey. So Bianca is the obvious pick because she's the biggest matchup out of the people in match. But like DJ was saying, it would be really criminal to do that on 2 months' time. And remember, you still got to either resolve or progress the whole thing with Jade. So she wouldn't even be spending the whole 2 months building to the match. So that would, they should not do that. They should have spent a year building to that, not 2 months or even one or half of 2 months. They should not do that. So that's why I'm, in this case, I'm actually hoping Bianca does not win because for me, it's either, if they don't do that, if they don't, again, if they don't do the obvious thing and just have Bianca win, then I think it'll be Bailey because I think, they've been doing the little Wyatt glitches during when Alexa shows up on TV. I think she's heading that direction some kind of way. And I think, I think her elimination will lead towards that or something. So
Bailey's path is the clearest.
Yeah.
When you look at the field.
That, and then also I think that whoever wins, I think is just getting served up to take an L anyway. Cause I think Hunter's going to try again. He very well may try again with the, Rhea just got the belt back. I don't see him taking the belt off of her this soon. So I think whoever wins this is just, they're getting, they're going out there taking L. at WrestleMania, and Bayley has the clearest path. Again, less than, yeah. So I think if they don't just, you know, if they don't just have Bianca win, then I think it'll be Bayley.
There's a discussion I want to have on next week's episode. I want to get through Elimination Chamber, see who wins, see what happens. There's a Rhea Ripley discussion that I want to have regarding WrestleMania. We're going to do that next week on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast.
Okay, because, yeah, and I have a lot of thoughts, and namely just with how her matches get built the last couple
of weeks. It's not even that. I have a question, and actually it's something our boss, Greg DeMarco, I want to give him credit here because it just popped in my head when we were thinking about this. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You have to find out next week. That means tune in next week to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast.
Okay. Why did you tell me after we finished recording so I can think about it?
I will.
Okay.
Okay. I planned on it, sir. I was talking to the listeners. Okay. We have listeners. I know it's just the three of us talking amongst ourselves, but we also talk to people. People tune in weekly to listen to us, and I was talking to them.
Okay. All right, so let's move on. This have we sufficiently? Yeah. And Rob, I actually did want to add Bailey also because you raise a good point. Like, I don't think anyone's beaten Rhea. So who's getting served up is the better question. And when you put it like that, I say okay, Bailey, because also she can either take a 3-month vacation if she wants to. Or you can reignite her after a WrestleMania loss to Rhea by God Ripley in about 2 weeks. She would not lose half step. So yeah, that makes a ton of sense. So we're gonna move on to the men's Elimination Chamber match for a shot at the undisputed WWE Championship at WrestleMania 41. We have John Cena, CM Punk, Drew McIntyre, Logan Paul, Damian Priest, Seth freaking Rollins. So thinking, you know, champion is Cody Rhodes. I don't know. I've just bought into the, like the idea that the main event of WrestleMania could very well be John Cena versus Cody Rhodes. So with that in mind, and I could see Cody retaining, by the way. I'm gonna go with John Cena because Drew and CM Punk are gonna take each other out, and Logan Paul, that whole trio is gonna do something, and then Damian and Seth might get caught in the crossfire, or they might start their own thing again. So there's a lot of ways these guys are gonna take each other apart. So it really is one of those things where anyone could squeak out, but I'm going to do John Cena. Rob, what do you think about the men's Elimination Chamber?
Okay, so I think they're going to gang up on Logan Paul and get him the hell out of there. I think Seth and Punk will cause they're going to cause each other's demise, and I think we also may see a Roman Reigns appearance. He may do a run in and take one of them out of the match. That's a possibility. And I think with Priest, he's been getting into it with Solo and Jacob a little bit. So, you know, there's a possibility of them running in and taking him out of the match. I think we're clearly going towards Cody and Cena here. Cause I think all those other guys have pathways to get taken out of the match. So I think they will. So I think Cody wins, and then, yeah, and then that will of course lead us to this bizarre thing with Dwayne.
Oh God!
Remember, that's the other part. That's the last part of the show. Dwayne and Cody are supposed to have a conversation.
So stupid. Like we'll get to that after the match, guys. I've said it a million times, but like, The Rock creates these incredible moments. And when he's in charge of bringing us between those moments, holy fuck, it's bad. So, yeah, this is just so, let's find out if Cody Rhodes gives The Rock his soul. Okay. I'm in. I think that wraps up Elimination Chamber, though.
Right, well, you didn't have DJ.
Hi. I'm white.
So now
you're doing reverse discrimination now?
Exactly. That's how it works, right? You just start discriminating the other side harder. DJ, go.
Can you at least wait until March and then discriminate against me? I don't know. Yeah, I think realistically, John Cena is the clearest path to WrestleMania, and it's his last WrestleMania. Of course, you're going to sell John Cena in the main event for a world championship match that he is not going to win. I think, and this is also a passing of the torch moment from John to Cody. So I think there's a good story to be told there. I think it flows very nicely with John's retirement tour. So yeah, John Cena versus Cody Rhodes. John Cena wins it this weekend.
Gag me with a spoon.
You want it, Jason.
He's got to win. So, look, he can't lose every match on the retirement tour. He's got to win something, right?
No. I'm just thinking of Cody winning at WrestleMania.
Oh, well, I think.
Like standing up and like, oh, this is the guy. Yeah, he'll raise his hand. Oh, my God.
It's going to take 17 crossroads, one for each championship that John Cena will win in his career.
Mom will come to the ring, and John Cena's mom will be there for some reason, and they'll give their moms the belts, and we'll all cry. Oh, my God. We got to live this guy's fucking soap opera.
You're going to live it, you're going to love it, and you're going to eat it, Jason.
I like the crime wrestling family soap opera much better.
Now, I guess, well, again, now there's the whole issue of, remember, CM Punk has his favor that he's supposed to be getting. Because I've seen some people suggesting that, you know, maybe out of all of this, and all this, you know, stuff with Dwayne, that Punk ends up being the guy who sold out.
That would be interesting. And then you have a scenario where Punk wins and then faces Cody at WrestleMania, at which point I think Punk should win. But.
Well, I don't think Punk wins here. I think Cena definitely wins here. But the question is, does Punk use the favor to somehow get himself into the equation?
Well, you're thinking like a triple threat? That way Punk gets his WrestleMania main event?
Possibly. Something like that.
Okay. I can dig it.
Well, because Cody's supposed to answer Dwayne at the Chamber show. And, I mean, I'm assuming he's going to tell Dwayne no.
I hope he goes full Hulk Hogan and goes, hell no, and rips the shirt off and the whole gimmick would be great.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. So, that was some weird shit Friday, man.
It sucked.
I'm not going to say it sucked. It's got me curious as to where they're going to go with it. At this point, guys, I have gone. It's WrestleMania season. I am full. Because here's why. Every year we do this dance. There's no hype for WrestleMania. What are we doing? Why are we doing this? What the fuck is going on? And then WrestleMania comes and goes. It was fucking awesome for the most part. So I'm from January to April, I'm whatever you guys want to do, throw it at the wall. And if it sucks, it sucks. But I doubt it will. That's me putting my E-drone hat on for the next 60 days.
Sorry, just I'm scarred. The Rock go with it. Involved. So and what? I'm even The Rock is involved now. So even after last year, you ask us, you know, remember, oh, we do this every year and then the build is so great and the show is so great. Well, I don't know. Last year it was pretty shaky. Right up until the very end, and they obviously landed the plane.
They stuck the landing. That's my point.
Oh, the landing sucked, but
no, the landing was fucking awesome. You just didn't like the out. You didn't like the pilot.
Oh, it was the most perfect ending you could imagine. Obviously, but we still look back on that whole build of them. Remember, this started with. Hey, I'm going to challenge you, Roman, but not at WrestleMania. Here's your cousin, Dwayne. See you later. That's how this all started. And it's like, how did we get here? Like, we still haven't made that make sense yet.
Well, it didn't, and it never will. It's just, when they finally got on track a few weeks later, you know, everything from, you know, that last month, everything was great. But it's just that one stretch was just, like, what the fuck is this? And I think, and for me, like, we're back at another what the fuck is this moment here. And so, you know, if they get things right in a couple of weeks.
They're back on track. Like last year, I will remember this. Holy crap.
Well, yeah, and that's, and.
Stop talking about Bray Wyatt. You're not Bray Wyatt.
Yeah. And I guess for me, it's like, okay, a month from now, they'll be on track and everything will probably be fine going, you know, from a month from now forward, things will probably be fine. And so to that end, will I care as much about what's going on right now? Probably not. But when you ask me to, you know, grade the whole thing, then, you know, like I always say, if it's, you know, if I give you a test and you get 7 out of 10 right, then your grade is 7 out of 10.
Yeah. But looking at it the other way, 7 out of 10 is a 700 ball game, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing, right? But it's just, you know, but 7 out of 10 is 7 out of 10. Right? I'm not, you know, I'm not going to just say, oh, well, fuck it, you got 10. No. I mean, because I would never do anything like that. You know.
No, of course not. No, never, never. Not Rob. Never. No, not biased at all.
No. I would never give a few points to someone who, you know, smiled at me the right way or something. I would never do something like that. You know. I would never.
Either way, man, this weekend's going to be fun. I won't catch it until Sunday. We're throwing a little going away thing for one of the doctors that's transferring out of our clinic and going over to Tampa. So I made plans to go hang out with them Saturday night. So this will be a Sunday morning thing for me. So I'll probably go radio silent after about 5 o'clock on Saturday.
Well, enjoy, my friend. That's good. You'll have a good time with your coworkers, though.
Yeah, we'll have a blast. It'll be, you know, Tina and I are going to go have some food, have a couple drinks, cut up, have a good time. They're a fun bunch. They really are.
Good.
So is that it? 4 matches? That was it?
Yeah, and so hopefully, you know, they won't go too long, you know, because guys, you know, we don't need a 4-hour show if we're only 4 matches. Please don't do that to us again.
Yeah. So. All right, Jason, I think that's everything, huh?
Yeah, that'll do it for Elimination Chamber.
All right, good. We are going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we are going to talk a little bit of cagematch.com. Before we do, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can look at, browse, peruse, if you will, and pick up and buy a T-shirt representing your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcast, including the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Go pick one up. No big holidays coming up, but buy one anyway. Pick one up. The starving artist on this show will thank you. Your body will thank you if you pick one up in soft style for just a couple dollars more. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Taking a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And we're back again. Thank you guys for tuning in for another week listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Before the break, I teased a discussion we want to have about cagematch.com, but more specifically, we want to talk Asuka and her online presence. Obviously, Asuka's had a lot of free time on her hands. So she's been injured. She's been at home. She's had what sounds like were some pretty personal and rather terrifying interactions with some fans online. But lately, she has taken more to absolutely skewering certain parts of the internet wrestling community and the wrestling media. And more specifically, at least today, as of Thursday, February 27th, she took a shot at some people that were using Cage Match as their barometer for how good a wrestling show or a wrestler's match is. And she had some very strong words about that. And the one thing that she QT'd, she's like, do you really let worthless garbage reviews dictate your choices? Be it games or cars, reviews mean nothing. There's nothing more pathetic than surrendering your own judgment to someone else's opinion. Take full control of your thoughts. And basically, she's
replying to something that I don't even know what the hell this all was. What it was there was a Mickey James. The original tweet was Mickey James, a clip from Mickey James and Oscar from, I believe, NXT. And yeah. somebody said, this Mickey, truly one of the best of all time, should have been talked about more. Oscar QT'd that and said this was a really good match. This guy responded, nope, it was a boilerplate hard cam WWE slop. Real great women's wrestling is in Japan. Maybe if you worked this match in Stardom, it could have been something special. Oh, there, Rob's rolling his eyes. We're going to get to that. The cage match rating on it, the guy screenshotted the cage match rating, and the cage match rating was, where are we at? Here we go. 6.93.
Which is actually
pretty good. If I'm reading this, like, I don't go on cage match because I think it's stupid, and we've talked about it enough on here, and Rob's given us enough data to let me know that cagematch.com is really, this is what I said in my tweet, is really the opinions of a bunch of dorks who represent less than 1% of the entire wrestling fan base and have never, ever stepped foot in a ring.
And even still, it's almost a 7. It's perfectly average, which if you just asked me, and I cannot remember this match to save my life, if you asked me what this match was, I'd probably be like, I bet it was fine.
Okay.
Well, it was actually fucking awesome. It was a great match.
No, okay, but like, so it's not easy. 7, like it's a slam. You know, and it's like, okay, if it was a 3, maybe but oh my God. And so start there, bud.
Okay. Like, start with a lower bar. Not 6.93.
These, as we've talked about on the show before, these ratings are created by people with the Cage Match account voting on it. Some of these matches have like 200 votes. And Rob, what was the one that we found with the most?
I think like a high number of votes is like 500 is like the high mark for
500 people. By the way, these are 500 people who spend time on wrestling message boards and rating review sites. These are not the people who peruse them once in a while and just think, oh, what did Bret Hart get at this match or whatever? Oh, okay, that's interesting. And then never go to the website for 3 months.
Okay, so now
these are the people who are making these ratings, guys.
Hold your thought, Rob, because I got something. Because to be fair, and I want to be fair to Cage Match here, because if anybody from Cage Match listens to this and says, oh, they're shitting on Cage Match, it's not us, it's your users. Or it's not you, it's your users. Because Cage Match has actually come out and spoken out against a lot of the negative rhetoric that goes on there. And I don't think they originally intended that for that to be anything more than a discussion board. But people take it like it's the goddamn gospel. You know, well, Kurt Angle's never had a 5-star wrestling match because Cage Match. What the fuck is Cage Match?
Okay.
300 nerds in their mom's basement?
Okay, so, all right. I do rate things on Cage Match sometimes.
And that's fine. It's there for that. To be fair. Go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry.
Okay, so.
Guarantee that you, the listener, have one movie that you love dearly that Siskel and Ebert gave 2 thumbs down.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, yeah.
Guaranteed.
Yes. So
most of the movies I like, they gave 2 thumbs down.
So it was never intended. The intention, it was just supposed to be a fun thing. And that was, you know, that's all it was supposed to be. You know, the guys who created the site, it's a great information reference place because they have matches and cards going back years and years and years for all.
Dude, they have names, dates, locations,
times.
As an archival site, they're awesome.
And we're talking going back to like way, way back.
Yeah, we're talking. I mean, they have stuff going back to the 80s. It's a great source of information. And the guys who created the site, they really just, it was supposed to just be a fun thing for people just to, you know, rate matches that they like or say good things about matches that they liked. But, and right now, so I'm looking at it now from, okay, so from WrestleMania last year, okay, the main event has 1,300 votes.
Okay.
And that's probably a high watermark for them.
That's probably the most votes that any show would get because it's WrestleMania, so more people, you know, all that. Okay. So we're talking 1,300 people on the extreme high end. And then
this match should be a 10.
Okay. 1,300. I'm going to pause you there for a second, Rob. When I'm talking about percentages and the number of people that this accounts for in the wrestling fandom, how many people were at WrestleMania Night 2 last year?
60,000 in the stadium.
Okay. 60,000. Okay. So we're talking a little more than 1% of the people that were just live. Not talking about the people who watched on premium live events, the people who watched around the world. You know, this is the type of numbers that we're dealing with here.
Yeah. And so,
what'd they give it?
They gave it the average rating was 9.22. So,
all right.
Now they liked it.
Yeah.
It should be dead.
But it's funny because I do go there and look at a lot of the ratings and they're definitely certain biases, particularly when it comes to women's wrestling. And what that guy said is basically sums up the bias about women's wrestling in a nutshell for people who rate matches on that site. They are anti-American women's wrestling. They are specifically anti-WWE women's wrestling. And then if you are a woman wrestler who has only wrestled in WWE, there's a third layer of bias against you.
Yeah.
Okay. So
you're already shooting with a handicap.
Yeah. And then if you're a WWE only American woman wrestler who is also not an internet darling, then that's four strikes against you. Okay. It's not worth, you should not judge your worth as a wrestler on what people say on Cage Match, just like you should not judge your worth as a wrestler on what Uncle Dave says, because Uncle Dave famously gave Daniel Bryan no 5-star matches until he went to AEW. Okay.
And now he's had what, 11?
Remember, Bryan Danielson in Ring of Honor was like considered the greatest wrestler in the world, okay, at the time. So we're not just being E-drones here. When he was in Ring of Honor, he was considered, people were calling him the best wrestler in the world. He didn't have a single 5-star match with Uncle Dave when he was there, okay? And so it's the same kind of mentality here. There are certain people who get high ratings just because, and like the guy mentioned Stardom, like, so if you wrestled in Stardom, you can have an okay match and there will be people giving it 7s and 8s on Cage Match because
grading it on a curve because it's not WWE.
I would almost bet
dollars to donuts. Most of the people who regularly use Cage Match for this type of thing also subscribe to Wrestling Observer.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a nice overlap there, but
it's just a curiosity. Like, oh, would this get on Cage Match? Like, use it for an archive. It's awesome at that. Like, holy crap. Any show you ever imagined is on there and it has the full card with all the results.
And then also, I mean, when you go all the way down to like, you know, matches that are on TV for, you know, some of the matches that are on TV have like 10 votes, right?
Yeah.
And so all it takes is for two.
Five guys who hate one of the guys in the match.
Like, so all it takes is for some asshole or two. If you have 10 votes for a match, all it takes is for two assholes to give it a zero. And then it has a jacked up rating. Okay.
Yeah. Because it's a weighted, grading score.
Well, yeah.
So it's.
So and zero so, brings the average way down.
Yeah, and so you should not, you absolutely should not base your worth as a wrestler on what people say on Cage Match. Okay.
And that's more or less what Oscar was trying to say.
Cage Match.
Because, so, I mean, I could say, you know, because, yeah, I mean, and it's I mean.
I would go as far as to say, look, like I said a couple minutes ago, this is not a knock on Cage Match. I understand what it exists for. And for that, it's fine. You know, the message boards are fine. Hell, podcasters, wrestling podcasts are a dime a dozen. We all just sit here and we do the same thing. I liked that match. I hated that match. We have sat here on this podcast and rated premium live events, live Raws, live SmackDown, Saturday Night Main Events. We've rated these matches, maybe not numerically, but we've talked about different bullet points that we liked or disliked. And that's perfectly fine. But I'm not out here shoving that opinion down the throats of the people that are doing it on a daily basis. There are wrestlers out there that I think stink out loud. But I don't sit there and get on, you know, Twitter and tell them that I think they stink. I just ignore them. And I don't think it's anybody's place that has not trained, run the ropes, bumped, been in the ring to be out here telling wrestlers, well, your career sucks because you were in WWE. Like, you put the Asuka's, especially Asuka. Asuka's WWE run, please, there are 1,000 women out there right now that would love to be ruined the way WWE, quote unquote, ruined Asuka. Okay? And this is even in a time where Vince McMahon, who notoriously, quote unquote, doesn't know how to book Asian wrestlers, saw something in Asuka and did meaningful things with her. So for her to survive the Vince McMahon booking, have an incredible run, have an incredible NXT run, how can you look at her body of work in WWE and say it stinks? And say it to her online? What, because Cage Match said so? Stop it.
And, yeah. You know, it's
yeah. Go ahead, bro.
You go ahead, because I'm kind of thinking and rambling here in my head.
Well, exactly. It's just a fun curiosity in the end. Like, oh, what did this get mad? You got a Cage Match. Oh, a 9? Oh, I think that's a little high. Okay. And then go on with your day. It's not a VR.
I do the Big 5 project with PC Tunney and Dave Ungar. And we watch our shows. We're doing a play-by-play of all the WWE Big 4 pay-per-views, Big 5 pay-per-views from like day one all the way till as far as we can get without killing each other. And at the end, we rate the show. And we do this thing where we'll give our ratings, and then at the end, Tunney will give us what Cage Match's rating was for the show, and we try to see how our opinion of the show matches up with the average users of Cage Match. And I think that's a neat little thing to do. It's like, okay. And interestingly enough, we're usually fairly close to Cage Match. There's been some times where we rated it much higher than Cage Match did, but there are times when our opinion lines up. And, you know, and so there is, like Jason said, curious value there, but there is no factual data coming from Cage Match. And I think people need to understand that, understand the difference. There's subjective data, which is, you know, what it is, or objective, or whichever, but not factual.
Yeah. And now, because what I do sometimes is, because, you know, I'm just a math nerd, so I'll even, like, if there are a few votes that are just extreme, you know, I'll even kind of refigure the average and take those out to get a better, you know, get a better idea of what the consensus really is, you know. And, you know, that's me. I'm weird like that, you know, but yeah, it's just, I mean, come on, what are we doing, guys? I mean, and like, this is, you know, this is as bad as those people who make 4-hour YouTube videos talking about how bad a movie is.
Yeah, the 4-hour YouTube video on a 2-hour movie. Please get out of your basement. Yeah. Go touch a wall. Touch some grass. Get a hobby. Please, I'm begging you.
Yes. And then, I mean, this also kind of ties into how, you know, there's a section of the IWC that sees Asuka as a victim. And it's like, oh, you know. And it's, there's a lot of that. And then that even, and I don't know, it's just very, people are very weird.
They're trying to rescue the fair maiden that neither needs nor wants rescuing. It's, yeah. It's some bizarre thing that they're doing with her and their internet favorites. And it's ridiculous, man. Yes, leave my Asuka alone.
She was buried at WrestleMania 34 and never recovered.
Jesus. Yeah, I know. She never recovered. Never recovered. Asuka didn't. Didn't win Money in the Bank.
I saw her last match. That was it. Charlotte was ready for Asuka. And then, you know, then we never saw her again.
Yeah, she went home to play video games for the next, 7 years.
That sounded like a horrible life to me.
Certainly. Dude, remember the Money in the Bank at the HQ?
I love that show. Yeah. I debate the wall. I love that show. And Asuka was absolutely on fire in that entire thing.
On the elevator. Oh, my God. She's
beauty. Just cinema, man.
She's the best.
And so, and just look at it like this. If you think that year, Asuka won that title, and then she held it from that point on for almost a whole year. You know, there was a brief interruption where she got lost and got it back. But she held that title for almost a whole year, which means that Vince McMahon, you know, of all people, saw her as trustworthy enough to just, because they didn't, there was a pandemic, they didn't really have a whole lot of ideas for what to do. And so he saw her as, you know, the worthy person to basically hold on to that belt until they figured out what the heck they wanted to do. Okay. So no, she's not a victim. And for God's sake, why somebody says something nice about a match of hers and why are you shitting on it? Why do you
take that's what they do. They can't help themselves. It's like they've got to just come right out of the fucking woodwork like cockroaches and comment. It's like, Jesus.
Here's the thing. Like, every day that somebody on Twitter says something nice about a wrestler or about a match, and you know what? A lot of times they say nice things about wrestlers I don't like. They talk up matches that I don't think were very good. And you know what I do? I just keep scrolling. You just keep scrolling. I don't need to jump in there and quote them and say, well, you know, this match actually sucked.
Yeah.
I might do that to you.
I do that to mutuals. If they post something, I might have a comment. But I am not going to sit there and argue back and forth with Asuka or Drew McIntyre or CM Punk or anybody like that over, oh, well, if you'd been working at AEW, this match would have been, you know, 7 stars. But since you did the same match in WWE, it sucked. Yeah, stop being that dork.
Well said.
All right, guys, I think we can wrap it up here early tonight. I got nothing else.
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah, I just want to make sure I hold it for the camera here. You know, I'm wearing my commemorative, you know, Royal Rumble winner T-shirt here for the 14th time Women's Champion.
Oh, boy. It's WrestleMania season. Charlotte's back. We're getting the unlivable again.
Well, hey, you look, I was going to ask you guys, going to do a watch along, but you know, I mean, you know.
Now we're out of time. All right, guys, let's wrap back around the room here and thank my co-host, starting with Jason, sir. This is a good show tonight. We kept it tight. I like it.
We had a good time.
We did.
Always a pleasure to share a mic with you guys.
Yeah, I'm glad we got to do this. I was a little worried, and hopefully I can get this figured out. But from the Rob the Genius podcast, Mr. Rob, sir, get some sleep, sir. You look like you're about to fall out.
Well, see, I'm good now. Now I'm good. Now,
now we got them all ramped up.
Yeah, I'm good now. Now, about an hour ago, I was, yeah, wasn't sure how it was going to go.
Rob's going to be mad at us because he's going to be up to like midnight now. He's going, those fucking guys kept me up all night. Yeah, well,
better than you, this guy, permission to nap. They'll never do that again, DJ.
That was my fault. No, I'm going to be a taskmaster. I'm just going to keep him awake. It'd be funnier if he falls asleep on the show.
Exactly. Oh,
yeah, that happens. Yeah, I mean, if that happens, then you got to put it on the YouTube channel if that happens.
Oh, we will. If we do, I'm totally clowning you. If you ever fall asleep on this show, we are 100% clowning you. All right, let's get out of here again. I am DJ, the man with the award-winning and holy beard. You have been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, and we thank you as always. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we're out of here till next week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.